Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, Saba blessing everyone on this beautiful sunny Sabbath. But it's really high in temperature. I hope everyone will find a way to get cool or allow the spirit to be able to do that for you. This is our part two review of chapter 77. Entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, Part 8, on the Sabbath, July 29, 2023. This is the second part of our lesson 387. Welcome once more to all the precious family, dear ones. We are going to allow our dear brother to be able to bless us with the tiny teen hymn, Heart to the Shepherd, Voice I Hear, also known as Bring Them In.
Interesting, Anna asked me last night if I would sing the first verse of a certain song in Spanish and didn't give me a number. So I said, I don't think I know your song.
I'm a Tyson, young Tyson, by every 2 weeks.
And she said, well, you sing it for Rose every Sabbath. Oh, that song. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who'll go and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find. Who'll bring them back into the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Llama Jesús el buen pastor a los corderos con amor. Tantas ovejas lejos van, de su redil vagando están. Búscalos, llámalos, los niñitos trae al Salvador. Búscalos, llámalos, los niñitos trae a Cristo. I thought you'd like one in Spanish.
That is beautiful, Brother Day. And in the Spanish projects, this same hymn is in Spanish, just in case we can give it to our dear sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious brethren that are coming in. We are going to ask one of the little tiny tots by the help of parents or elder sibling to be able to open their review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Father blessings. Thank you, God. It is Sabbath day. Please protect this family to keep it home. Sixth day, shall I labor in the seventh day? The Sabbath of the Lord, because of the Sabbath words that we're about to read. And the word that's going to give us. Thank God. And to protect the words that we're about to learn and everyone. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to all the brethren that are coming in. Well, this is the time that we're going to hear all the blessings that the little ones has been for their mommies and daddies, their family members, even their neighbors or even their friends. If you would like to be able to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Sabbath blessings, dear one. For mommies and daddies, little blessings, I'd like to highlight both Haley and Emma, more so Haley this time as the summer is here and the trees are shedding its bark. Some of its barks are leaves that there are a lot of droppings on the floor. And so we have a leaf blower, and Haley was so eagerly, and Emma too, ready to help her dad to use the leaf blower to blow the leaves. But not only was she willing to blow the leaves from in front of our house, she was also willing to blow the leaves from in front of the neighbor's house. And so she did both of them. Emma was a little bit afraid of the device, so Haley went over to her and help her to guide her and to hold it so that she wouldn't feel left out and that she would have a turn and be able in being able to help to blow the leaves from in front of the house, in front of the houses. So they were able to work together, which is something that I've been trying to teach them to do, as sisters, to be each other's best friend and also to work together to figure out solutions instead of having to bicker and to fight with one another. So it was really good as I was watching them, that they were able to do that in that particular moment, and praying for the Lord to continue to tie their hearts together, and more importantly to Him, that they may be able to work together for His purpose and His will. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family that would like to share what the little ones have been a blessing to them, or either the rest of the family? May you unmute your mic, dear one. You will still have time later in the program where we have the testimony area. If you have anything else that you would like to share, you'll be able to have that opportunity. Well, dear one, this is story time for our review for chapter 13 entitled Riding into Jerusalem Part 3. And our dear brother will be the one to share.
The Bible verse for our lesson are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 38, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Luke 19, 39 through 42. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master. And why they called him master, I don't know. They looked down on him, saying, How does this man even know how to read? He never went to school. But they called him master because they recognized that he was a teacher. Rebuke your disciples. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He had to be announced. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. Next slide. Many Pharisees witnessed this scene and were displeased. They felt that they were losing the control of the people. And that's what leaders like, is to control people. With all their authority, they tried to silence them. That's the people. But their threats and appeals only increased the enthusiasm of the people. finding that they could not control the people, they pressed through the crowd to where Jesus was and said to him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. They declared that such a tumult was unlawful and would not be permitted by the rulers. Jesus said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out, Luke 19:39-40. This scene of triumph was of God's own appointing. It had been foretold by the prophets, and no earthly power could stop it. The work of God will ever go forward, in spite of all that man may do to hinder it or tear it down. Next slide, please. The procession came to the brow of the hill overlooking Jerusalem. The full splendor of the city met their view. A vast multitude, the vast multitude, hushed their shouts, spellbound by the sudden vision of beauty. They were just astonished. All eyes turned upon the Savior, expecting to see his countenance, in his countenance, the admiration which they themselves felt. Jesus halted, and a cloud of sorrow gathered upon his countenance. And the multitude were astonished to see him burst into an agony of weeping. Those who surrounded the Savior could not understand his grief, but he wept for the city that was doomed. In other words, it was to be destroyed. That was taken from the story of Jesus, pages 85 and 86.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will be reviewing the part one, but this will be for part four of our story writing into Jerusalem of our Tanita lesson book, the story about Jesus, and that will take place August 5th, 2023. Now I'm going to pass it back to our dear brother so he can review the questions.
What did the Pharisees say to Jesus after witnessing or seeing what was happening?
The answer is, Master, rebuke the disciples.
Thy disciples.
Thy disciples.
Yes, Master, rebuke. Tell them to keep still. And what did Jesus say would happen if the crowd held their peace or was silent?
These stones would immediately cry out.
The stones would immediately cry out. Now that, we can't understand that, but then with God all things are possible. I guess if he can make a donkey talk, he could make a stone talk too. Why did Jesus burst into an agony of weeping?
He wept for the city that was doomed.
Very good.
Yeah, very good, yes. He wept because he knew that beautiful temple was to be destroyed and that many of those who were that day rejoicing over his coming would die in that siege, in the destruction of Jerusalem. See you next week.
Thank you so much, dear brother. Well, dear ones, it's time to hear the Tiny Tots section of the water topic, the water of life, to hear precious lesson of God's creation through nature. And this is our review that our dear brother will be able to share with us.
So blessings, everyone. And here's the water of life part 41st review. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of John chapter 1, and the lesson is 12 of Peter, John, and other disciples. And the verses are 35 to 39, and they say, Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, the interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with them that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Research, come and see. On the following day, while two disciples were standing near, John again saw Jesus among the people. Again, the face of a prophet was lighted up with glory from the unseen, as he cried, Behold, the Lamb of God. The words thrilled the hearts of the disciples. They did not fully understand them, what meant in the name that John had given him. The Lamb of God, John himself had not explained it. John the Baptist helped his disciples by pointing out that Jesus was God come in the flesh. Leaving John, they went to seek Jesus. One of the two was Andrew, the brother of Simon. The other was John, the evangelist. These were Christ's first disciples, who by an irresistible impulse, they followed Jesus, anxious to speak with him, yet awed and silent. Lost in the overwhelming significance of the thought, is this the Messiah? People like John the Baptist that walk closely with God have spiritual vision that helps others around them to be drawn closer to Jesus. Jesus knew that the disciples were following him. They were the first fruits of his ministry, and there was joy on the part of the divine teacher as these souls responded to his grace. Yet turning, he asked only, What seek ye? He will leave them free to turn back or to speak of their desire. One purpose only were they conscious. One presence filled their thought. They exclaimed, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? In a brief interview by the wayside, they cannot receive that for which they longed, the desire to be alone with Jesus, to sit at his feet and hear his words. He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. If John and Andrew had possessed the unbelieving spirit of the priests and rulers, they would not have been found as learners at the feet of Jesus. They would have come to him as critics to judge his words. May he thus close the door to the most precious opportunities. But not so did these first disciples. They had responded to the Holy Spirit's call in the preacher of John the Baptist. Now they recognized the voice of the heavenly teacher. To them, the words of Jesus were full of freshness and truth and beauty. A divine illumination was shed upon the teaching of the Old Testament scriptures. The many sided themes of truth stood out in new time. The Desire of Ages, page 138-139. Jesus would need helpers to help him as he ministered to the people. Andrew and John were Jesus' first disciples. And here are pictures of the two first disciples. Andrew on the left and John on the right. Or is it the other way around? They helped everyone, his neighbor, and one and said to his brother, Be of good courage, Isaiah 41:6. And the character quality of the lesson is helpfulness. Helpfulness is to aid or assist another as if we were helping Jesus and thereby promote a person's usefulness. And the nature lesson we're learning through the story about Peter and the others, are about oceans. And in this picture are snow geese flying over the salty sea. And remember, seas represent peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
And I would like to say to all the little ones, the pictures that you see right in front of you is just an example just to say who was Andrew and John, but they wasn't exactly, that's their picture. It's just an example. So the little ones that cannot read can be able to relate that the story is about the disciple in this particular lesson. In this particular picture as well, it just showed the 12 disciples that had went to follow Jesus as the disciple. These were the helper that the Father has drawn to his Son to continue his mission to give the gospel. And now I will hand it back to Brother Josh.
Continuing our reference reading for the water topic of our Tiny Tots lesson review, chapter 14, we have found the Messiah. Jesus knew that the disciples were following him. They were the first fruits of his ministry, and there was joy in the heart of the divine teacher as these souls responded to his grace. Yet turning, he asked only, "What seek ye?" He will leave them free to turn back or to speak of their desire. Of one purpose only were they conscious. One presence filled their thought. They exclaimed, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou?" In a brief interview by the wayside, they could not receive that for which they longed. They desired to be alone with Jesus, to sit at his feet and hear his words. He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and they saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. If John and Andrew had possessed the unbelieving spirit of the priests and rulers, they would not have been found as learners at the feet of Jesus. They would have come to him as critics to judge his words. May thus close the door to the most precious opportunities, but not so did these first disciples. They responded to the Holy Spirit's call on the preaching of John the Baptist. Now they recognized the voice of the heavenly teacher. To them, the words of Jesus were full of freshness and truth and beauty. A divine illumination was shed upon the teaching of the Old Testament scriptures. The many-sided themes of truth stood out in new light. Desire of Ages, page 139, paragraph 2. It is contrition of faith and love that enable the soul to receive wisdom from heaven. Faith working by love is the key of knowledge, and everyone that loveth knoweth God. 1 John 4:7. Three bonus questions is, you'll find them in the lesson book or in the Bible. Question 1, who followed Jesus? The answer is Andrew and John. Question 2, what did Jesus say to these men and how did they respond? The answer is in John chapter 1 verses 38 to 39. And number 3, what does it mean to be helpful? You can go back to the beginning of the lesson to find the definition. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. And remember, little ones, bring them in, bring them in, bring the wanderers to Jesus. Welcome to all the precious family that are in the room, those that just came in, and in other devices. Our opening song is a hymn to our theme entitled, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." If you like to share the hymn, dear ones, you can also open your mic to be able to join. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for the lookout. The Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things summer will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and peace.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Beatus ojos en Cristo, tan lleno de gracia y amor, y lo terreno sin valor será a la luz de glorioso Jesús.
Amén. A la luz del glorioso Jesus. Well, dear ones, if any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to be able to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God blesses everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect the word of masculine. And please protect everybody that I know. And please protect the people that is at the Sabbath. And please give people that's not at the Sabbath, they can come back if they're sick or anything happens to them. And please protect, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the scripture, Sing a Song Memory Verse CD in the section Promises, taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, King James, and it's a memory verse song.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and cares. Sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Before we hear your question, your comments, or anything you would like to share with your remnant family, dear one, we are going to reread part one of our lesson in Pilate Judgment Hall, part 8, in our study book, The Desire Ages. But before that, dear ones, I would like to just take this few moments to be able to touch upon a situation that came to our a notice. A dear family member here in the family of the remnant had a concern, but I would like to touch upon it first with the purpose of why it was veiled. The whole theme of our chapter 77 is to be able to concentrate on what the Savior had done for us. The scripture that I would like to take in mind for our opening is Psalms 44, verse 26. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. How unmistakably plain were Isaiah's prophecies of Christ's suffering and death. Who has believed our report? The prophet inquires, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. To the little ones, did you remember when we had our nature walk area of our studies? You saw the family of our dear sister Howard have the two little ones planting, it works, planting their garden. And if you notice, it was like in a dry ground, but they had to moist it, and they just have a little stem that was coming out of it. The Lord, when it gives this message that he had grown up out of a dry ground and tenderly, is just talking about the humility of the life that he was going to live and how he came in the guise of human nature to help us to get an example that he will leave, that we can do the same. By seeing his comeliness, by seeing the innocent, how of his birth, by seeing his life of a servant to serve those that he had actually created, these are how the Lord wants us to remember him. Every other example that is given to know who he is are just examples. They are not the actual physical image of who he is, because in Jesus' time, like today we have camera, they had people that used to paint. But in order for us to see the true beauty of who the Savior is to us, he left his character, he left his word, that we may be able to know, because we can love him. We don't have to necessarily have to see him, because he planted that seed in our hearts. So I want to be able to tell the little ones, all the things that will be shared are just example. If you want to go deeper to find out the little things that you may have question about, you either can speak to your mommy or your daddy, or we can also facilitate where we can put programs together to be able to help in case if you have any misunderstanding. Continuing. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and was esteemed not. As you saw these pictures that was already unfold, it was really showing what is an example of what he suffered. Why? We need to know the true meaning of what sin is. If we don't know the true meaning of sin, we would not be able to give those sins to God, for him to be able to redeem us from it by being our justification, also to sanctify us through his truth, to bring us into holiness. And that is only something that Christ can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken. We saw he was stricken, smitten of God. The Lord allowed his son to come under that affliction for our sake. And he was afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So when we are worried about things that happen to us in our life, things that are going on, maybe not necessarily the way how we expected, before we was even born, the Lord had covered it. Now we have to be able to trust that whatever he has done, it's covering these things. And if we don't come to him, bringing those things then to him, he being the lamb that was slaughtered for our transgression, we are placing these things upon him that he can give us a peace to know that all these things then that we go through, it is for a purpose. They are examples. They are a way to draw us closer to him. So it pleases God to be able to do that, but the Savior also volunteered to do that for us. So the Godhead together came together to do everything to the uttermost to save us. So how can we know the value of what he has done? It's through the sacrifice that he had did for us. It's going to take a day by day, moment by moment, minute by minute, to be able to truly comprehend. But praise God that the Holy Spirit has been sent, that he will bring it to our remembrance and be able to educate us in what way it can be a blessing to us personally. So all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He had to take the position to let us understand that he truly was the Lamb of God. And was the Lamb able to speak while he was used as a sacrifice? The Lord had to fulfill everything that was written. And as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, as you see when the Lord was brought before Herod and from Herod to Pilate, from Pilate back to Herod, the only time when the Savior spoke is when there was a violation against his father's character or even on what he came here to do. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So it was for us, for all the world from the very beginning. For the Lord was crucified first from the foundation, but then 4,000 years after, Christ came to fulfill what was already given by prophecy, what was supposed to be done. Now, on this part where it says, as the brazen serpent had been lifted up in the wilderness, so was the coming Redeemer to be lifted up. In this 8th part of our study for this particular chapter, we are able to have the privilege to see what Moses did by faith when he lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. It was a symbol of what Jesus was going to do for us. And notice that even though God gave Moses the 10 commandments, in the commandment of the second, it literally said that we wasn't supposed to do any images for it to be worshipped. Was Moses doing this to be able to break the second commandment? Not at all. The Lord told him to do this, but it was an example of what was supposed to be a prophecy in the future that not only happened but also for us to be able to see that sometimes things are being used for the purpose of example, not for worship. He never really broke the second commandment. He did what the Lord told him to do for our purpose. And this is the reason why we have to, in many ways and situation, use common sense. And I will talk about that particular chapter where it's the wife had said, based on the circumstances, situation, things are being used. So continuing, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend, according to Zechariah 13:6. Do you know that we actually going to see exactly what Jesus looked like? He is going to have the same body where he can carry those scars. So now we could be patient if we become obedient and the Lord redeem us and we get to heaven. We will be able to see him as he is, and also the witnessing of all that he had done in his body for us. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Isaiah 53:9-10. These quotes were taken from the Acts of the Apostle, pages 225, paragraph 2 to 226, paragraph 5. I wanted to be able to just go through this to be able to let you all know that the images that are being used are just example to kind of have the little ones kind of relate a little bit to what is happening. But we are going to share a story that really happened to Sister White while she was little, that it could give us something for the children to be able to relate in their little lives. I hope and pray that this might help a little bit. And if it's possible, you can be able to either give a call or we can go and extend it a little bit more. So who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones?
Desire of ages, page 733. Pilate was troubled. He had not thought it would come to that. He shrank from delivering
an innocent man
to the most ignominious
and cruel
death
that could be inflicted.
After the war
of voices
had ceased,
he turned to the people,
saying,
Why?
What evil had he done? Can you turn around, Emma? The case had gone.
Too far.
For argument.
It was not evidence of Christ.
Innocence.
That they wanted.
But his condemnation. The desire of ages.
Page 733.
Paragraph 3.
I'll bubble down.
Amen.
Haley,
come.
Mommy, did you know I said I'll bubble?
Continuing.
Still private.
Can you come a little closer, please? He's up here, Emma. Go ahead.
Still private and
Devered.
Devered to save him. He said unto them the third time, why that would what evil have he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But at the very moment
mention
of his to
release
stirred the people to a tenfold
frenzy. Crucify him. Read it again.
Crucify him. They cried louder and louder.
Swelled
the storm that Pilate
indecision
had called for.
Amen. The Desire of Ages. Page 733, paragraph 4. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 734. Jesus was taken, faint with weariness and covered with wounds, and scourged in the sight of the multitude. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. Next slide, please.
Continuing. And they did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. Occasionally, some wicked hand snatched the reed that had been placed in his hand and struck the crown upon his brow, forcing the thorns into his temple and sending the blood trickling down his face and beard. Desire of Ages, page 734, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 734. Wonder, O heavens, and be astonished, O earth. Behold the oppressor and the oppressed. A maddened throng enclosed the Savior of the world. Mocking and jeering are mingled with the coarse oaths of blasphemy. His lowly birth and humble life are commented upon by the unfeeling mob, his claim to be the Son of God is ridiculed, and the vulgar jest and insulting sneer are passed from lip to lip. The Desire of Ages, page 734, paragraph 2. Amen.
Continuing. The Desire of Ages, page 734. Satan led the cruel mob in its abuse of the Savior. It was his purpose to provoke him to retaliation if possible, or to drive him to perform a miracle to release himself and thus break up the plan of salvation. One stain upon his human life, one failure of his humanity to endure the terrible test. Next slide, please. Continuing. And the Lamb of God would have been an imperfect offering and the redemption of man a failure. But he who by a command could bring the heavenly host to his aid, he who could have driven that mob in terror from his sight by the flashing forth of his divine majesty, submitted with perfect calmness to the coarsest insult and outrage. Desire of Ages, page 734, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages, page 734. Christ's enemies had demanded a miracle as evidence of his divinity. They had evidence far greater than any they had sought. As their cruelty degraded his torturers below humanity into the likeness of Satan, so did his meekness and patience exalt Jesus above humanity. Next slide. Continuing, and prove his kinship to God. His abasement was the pledge of his exaltation. The blood drops of agony that from his wounded temples flowed down his face and beard were the pledge of his anointing with the oil of gladness. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, as our great high priest. Hour of Ages, page 734, paragraph 4.
If I can read the scriptures on the slide, T.T. Rosie, can you please go back? Thank you. And in the middle slide, it has the blood drops of agony that from his wounded temples, and it shows a picture there. And on the slide, also at the bottom, it has a verse from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And again, that was taken from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Amen.
The desire of ages.
Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead, Pop. Go ahead.
The desire of ages, page 735. Satan's rage was great as he saw that all the abuse inflicted upon the Savior had not forced the least murmur from his lips. Although he had taken upon him the nature of man, he was sustained by a godlike fortitude. And deep and departed in no particular from the will of his father. Desire of Ages, page 735, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let us consider this verse for our review section. 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, also a memory verse song. Most sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones? These are the 6 questions that we held for our review section. I will read it out for those that are not able to see. Number 1, who is the main characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And number 6, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room, or if you have a mic available, you can be able to use it. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? But before we begin, I'm going to just go back. Finally, I know where the texts are that I can be able to check and see if I'm not leaving anybody out what they have placed in the room. Hold on, just give me a few seconds, dear ones. Okay. Sabbath blessing to all the precious ones that have came in. And there is a text from a dear sister. Let me see which one. I think Sister Michelle. Okay. My text will not let me open. Is it possible? Okay, there it is. A comment that was sent by our dear Sister Michelle. She said, Pilate's wife had a dream, and she told her husband about the wonderful deeds he had performed. He healed the sick and raised the dead, but yet Pilate still did what he did. And also, if you would like to see what our dear sister had just shared, if you go to the part 7, I believe, or 6, you're going to see to what extent the Lord had gave her the dream. She not only saw all of the things that the Lord had done, but even revealed to her from the very beginning of his trial all the way to his coming. And indeed, anybody else besides we begin to review the questions? Okay, who would like to answer the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Jesus, Pilate. Jesus, Pilate, and the cruel mob.
Amen.
Jesus called crucifixion.
Haley answered for the, what is the main idea for this section? This one is, she said, mentioned that it was about Jesus' trial and his planned crucifixion. Here we saw that Pilate was facilitating in his decision, and even though ample warnings were given to him, and even his wife had a vision that he did not stand for what was right because he did not want to lose his position. And we saw that Jesus was mishandled and was going to be crucified. The answer to number 3, where did the story take place? Say it a little bit louder, please.
Pilate Justin Hall.
Pilate Judgment Hall.
The answer to question 4, when did the story begin? Pilate being told with the mob's decision. How I can relate to the story is Jesus didn't falter through all the turmoil that day. He just stood, remained calm no matter how hard the witness or how loud they kept demanding him to be crucified. He didn't flinch. He didn't complain. He didn't whine. And he didn't even scold at the guards when they were whipping.
For number 6, what did you learn from this lesson? Last week, I came across a new word that I wasn't familiar with, praetorium. And so in my curious mind, I went to go look up exactly what a praetorium is. And it really didn't give a steady answer into what it is. So I'm still doing a little bit more research into what it is, and if anyone has any, I didn't ask this beforehand because I was researching it myself, but if anyone could shed any light on that. But in terms of what I found thus far, it says in the New Testament, Praetorium refers to the place of Pontius Pilate, the Roman prefect of Judea, which is believed to have been one of the residential palaces built by Herod the Great for himself in Jerusalem, which at the time was also the residence of his son King Herod II, or Herod II. But I'm here, it says Jesus Christ was tried and condemned to death, and Praetorium is variously translated as a common hall, governor's house, judgment hall, and also it says Pilate's house or Pilate's house or palace. Also I found out in looking up this term that Paul was also held in Herod's Praetorium. So that word was new to me, and I was went to go look about it, and that's what I learned from the lesson.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister, for sharing. Now this is the section, dear ones, that we share the poems, our thought, and special music. The thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy. The book is Gospel Workers, entitled Righteousness by Faith, pages 161, paragraph 2 through 162, paragraph 1, margin. And the heading of our scripture, it says 1 Corinthians 1:30 from the King James Version, and it reads, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption." This is also taken, and you can find it there as well, in a devotional. It's called Jesus Name Above All Name, in July 10, page 204, paragraph 1, and 204, paragraph 5. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones?
Mark, the thought that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us not because of any merit in our part, but as a free gift from God, is a precious thought. The enemy of God and man is not willing that this truth should be clearly presented, for he knows that if the people receive it fully, his power will be broken. If he can control minds so that doubt and unbelief and darkness shall compose the experience of those who claim to be the children of God, he can overcome them with temptation. Gospel Workers, page 161, paragraph 1.
That simple faith which takes God at his word should be encouraged. God's people must have that faith which will lay hold of divine power. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Those who believe that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven their sin, should not, through temptation, fail to press on to fight the good fight of faith. Their faith should grow stronger until their Christian life, as well as their words, continue, shall declare, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, Gospel Workers, page 161, paragraph.
If we would have the spirit and power of the third angel's message, we must present the law and the gospel together, for they go hand in hand. As a power from beneath is stirring up the children of disobedience to make void the law of God and to trample upon the truth that Christ is our righteousness. A power from above is moving upon the hearts of those who are loyal to exalt the law and to lift up Jesus as a complete Savior. Unless divine power is brought unto experience of the people of God, false theories and ideas will take minds captive. Christ and his righteousness will be dropped out of the experience of many, and their fate will be without power of or life. Okay. That is Gospel Workers, I guess. I think page 161, paragraph 3.
Continuing, ministers are to present Christ in his fullness both in the churches and in new fields, that the hearers may have an intelligent faith. The people must be instructed that Christ is unto them salvation and righteousness. It is Satan's studied purpose to keep souls from believing in Christ as their only hope. For the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin is efficacious, sorry, I'm pronouncing that wrong, in behalf of those only who believe in its merit and who present it before the Father as did Abel in his offerings. And this is taken from Gospel Workers, page 162, paragraph 1. And further reflections is, how does Christ's righteousness break Satan's power in my life?
Amen. Praise the Lord. There once we also found a poem. It's entitled Children's Mission, taken from the Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 3. Lesson 12, page 332, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling from the Bible. The disciples helped Jesus spread the good news of the gospel, and children can too. That is the title of the poem. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
Children, by our Lord were honored when on this poor earth he stayed. Fondly he embraced and blessed them, though a frowning throne forbade.
To his side a child he summoned, placed him in the midst of, and told those that simple guide to follow, who God's kingdom will behold.
Still his gospel honors children, bids them to Christ's service move, and their little rills of beauty swell the ocean of his love.
Bid them strive with zealous pity for the desolate and sad, though the dark and desert places are for them exceeding glad.
Children, to our dear Redeemer, yield the grateful homage due, and by love to every creature, pay the love he bears for you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. And we are going to have a duet between Brother Josh and myself. Okay, we're going to do it with. Close my mic first.
There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Daddy Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. He has called us to. We are his disciples, I am one in you. He has called us to. We are his disciples, we his work must do.
May what will disciple Jesus call to help him? Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the sons of Alphaeus, Titus, Simon, Judah, and Bartholomew. He has called us to. We are his disciples. I am one and you. He has called us to. We are his disciple. We his work must do. Amen. Well, dear ones, this is a testimony, but this testimony is the story about our dear sister, Helen Need White, and the experience that she had. So let the little ones relate, and our dear brother Josh will be the one to share it with us. Just give me 5 seconds to change. Sorry. Okay, our dear brother Josh will be able to share the story. Sorry. To make the little ones kind of have an example. Okay, dear brother Josh.
Chapter 2, A Brave Little Girl. More than 100 years ago, twin girls walked hand in hand across the common or public park of Portland, Maine. With them was a schoolmate, and the three friends skipped happily across the grass. Suddenly, they heard a shout, and looking back, they saw a girl of about 13 running after them and calling in an angry voice. "What's the matter with her?" asked one of the girls. "I don't know," answered Elizabeth, one of the twins. "But let's run. Mother says not to answer back when someone's angry, but to hurry home." The three girls started to run as fast as they could, their feet fairly flying over the ground. They were almost across the common when the girl shouted again, and Ellen, Elizabeth's twin sister, looked back to see how close the old girl had come. Just as she was turning her head, the girl threw a stone which she had in her hand. "Oh," cried Ellen as the stone struck her full in the face. She was so badly hurt that she sank to the ground. The angry girl, horrified at what she had done, turned and ran away. The next thing Ellen knew, she was in a store, and people were standing about wondering what to do. A kind man stepped forward. "I will take you home in my carriage," he offered. "Oh, no, thank you," Ellen murmured weakly. As she sat up, "I feel stronger now. I can walk. I am afraid the blood will stain your carriage." The people who were in the store did not know how badly the brave little girl was hurt, and so they let her start home with her sister holding one arm and her schoolmate the other. After she had walked only a short distance, she grew faint, and the two girls had to carry her home. For 3 weeks, Ellen lay in her bed, too sick to even know what was happening or that time was passing. Many of those who saw her felt that she would not live. Ellen's mother prayed earnestly to God for her daughter's life, and he impressed her with the feeling that her little daughter would not die. When Ellen finally began to notice those about her, she thought she had been asleep. She did not remember the terrible accident. As she became stronger, neighbors came in to visit and to bring her fruit, flowers. "What a pity," said one woman as she left. "I would not have known her," said another. "I would wonder what the woman could mean. Why are they so sorry for me?" she thought. "Do I look different for some reason?" She called for a looking glass. When she saw herself in the mirror, she was shocked. Every feature of her face seemed changed. This could not be the round, healthy, smiling face she had always seen reflected in the glass. When Ellen's mother explained to her that her nose had been broken, and this, with her long illness, had changed her appearance. "Why do you not prosecute the girl who has ruined Ellen's life?" advised any who came to the house. "No," answered the mother, who was a faithful Christian woman. "If it would bring back health to Ellen, there would be something gained, but would not do that. It will only make enemies." Ellen felt so sad when she looked at her face in the glass that she almost wished she could die. She was very unhappy. Then the thought came to her that perhaps she might die, and she was frightened, for she felt that she was not ready to die. Her parents had taught their children to trust in the Lord and to turn to Him in prayer. Now Ellen prayed to the Lord that if she was going to die, He would forgive her sins and make her ready to meet Him. After Ellen prayed, she felt happy. She loved everyone, even the girl who had struck her. She only wished that all could have their sins forgiven and could love Jesus as she did. Ellen gained strength very slowly. At last, she was able to join her playmates. She learned then the bitter lesson that one's appearance may make a difference in the treatment one receives. Those who have been happy to have her as their playmate when she was a healthy, lively girl had little sympathy for her now that she was weak and sick and her beauty and health had been destroyed. Ellen felt this deeply, and it made her very unhappy. When Ellen was hurt, her father, Mr. Harmon, was away on a trip. It was several months before he came home. He was eager to see his children again. When he came to the house, he hugged Ellen's brother and her sisters. And then he looked about for her. She timidly stood back away from the others. "Where is Ellen?" he asked. "There she is," said the mother, pointing to where she stood by herself. He looked at Ellen, then back to his wife, thinking, "Surely this is not my little Ellen." It seemed to him that the pale, thin little girl with a disfigured face who stood so quietly by herself could not be his once happy, healthy daughter. Although she smiled at her father when he took her in his arms, she felt that her heart would break at the thought she would not even know her own father, not even her own father could recognize her. At last, it was thought that Ellen was strong enough to go to school again. When she tried to write, her hand and trembled so that she could write only the simplest of words. It seemed impossible for her to study and remember what she had learned. The teacher asked the girl who had thrown the stone at Ellen while she was crossing the common to be monitored. It was her duty to help Ellen with her writing and her other lessons. Ellen never reminded her of the accident, but she seemed very sad when she saw Ellen struggling to write her lessons. She was sincerely sorry for her hasty act and for the result of her anger. She was always tender and patient with the poor little pupil. After a few months, the teacher felt that until Ellen should become stronger, she should not be allowed to exert herself in school. So she had to give up her studies. It was a severe trial to the little girl to leave school, for she loved her schoolwork and wanted to have a good education. A further reflection, does my commitment to accept Christ's sacrifice for me match his commitment to save me? In other words, am I as vested in my salvation as Christ is?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, this particular story is what shows them to be able to help the little ones. How to be able to relate. Our dear Sister White, if many that are not here are acquainted with her, this is the instrument that the Lord had used to be able to be his messenger, and the spirit of prophecy was given to her for us in this generation to prepare us for the second coming of the Lord. And also, as you can see, no matter what the enemy was trying to do to be able to hold her, this was at the time when Sister White was small and she was in the Methodist church and the Lord was preparing her to use her as an instrument. But the part that I wanted to be able to highlight, the reason why it was given, if you notice that the Lord moved the teacher to be able to allow the very person that had injured her to help her with the handwriting, but also she had first seen to see the damage that she had done by being next to her and seeing all that Helen had suffered and even the disfigurement in her face. Sometimes situation has to be done for us to really truly understand the value of not only the crime, but also the suffering that it took. But do you know what is so beautiful about that? Not only she was helping her with the writing, but do you know what Helen became later in life? She wrote so many books. She wrote so many testimonies. No matter what it is that was happening in her life, the Lord used her and nothing was lost. I just wanted to share that. And you can always sit with your children and go back into the story, because there are many nuggets in here that is a lesson. When the man was trying to tell Helen that he would take her, notice what? She was more worried about the carriage being soiled with the blood. Also, the siblings were told that anytime when something happened and someone is angry, not to be able to. There's so many little instrument in this story that will also allow us to see that when Jesus was going through the affliction for his father, he was obedient to his father's will, and he had to stay with principle for all that needed to be done, and even save those that was persecuting him as well. I just wanted to share that, and I hope by God's grace you were blessed by it. And I'm just going to end with our ending of our story. So next week, we will continue with part 9 of our lesson entitled In Pilate Judgment Hall in our study book, The Desired Ages. Who would like to close our meeting of our review with prayer, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Lord, thank you again for bringing us safely through another week. The weeks are flying by so fast, but we are so thankful to be gathered here once more, Father. Thank you for all the blessings of the little children participating and their families as well. Help us as we go forward into the next section. Continue to bless us and keep us. Bless the speaker and be with us, Father, for the rest of the day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So by God's grace, let me fix this. Sorry. Next Sabbath, we will begin a new lesson. It's 388 from a chapter 77 entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, Part 9. And that will take place August 5th, 2023. May you all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless. Oops. I'm sorry. I have one more thing. And I'm never going to be able to have a chance because it's going to be a different flower. For review, we are sharing more of the flowers from our dear sister Joan's beautiful garden. And this are orchids. Orchids, thank you. As you can see, the gold one, they look like beautiful golden birds. So we want to thank our dear sister for sharing all her flowers, and there's more coming as well. Now I can be able to say, may y'all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones.